My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games and a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Can't ask for a better dismount than that one right there.
No, that's pretty good.
Right.
That's pretty good.
In the Loop has begun here. Sports Radio 610. You got John Lopez.
Stuck the landing.
Actually, Sean, let me ask you something before you step out of here.
Yeah, what's up?
Do you like the idea of the law firm of Lopez, Fig, and Atitula? Because I tried one of these segments coming back. You got Lopez, you got Fig, you got Atitula, and I was like, I don't think I like that.
Oh, okay. The sequencing of the names?
Yeah.
Are you guys actually doing a segment where you guys are a law firm? That would be kind of fun.
You know what? Let me write that down.
Yeah.
I feel like there's
always wanted to be called.
Yeah,
something where you adjudicate certain things in sports.
We got to defend somebody.
Yeah, defend somebody or prosecute somebody, whatever.
Defend Deshaun Watson.
Yeah.
Oh, well.
You're representing Deshaun Watson.
I think you always do, like, Atitula would be the last name for me.
For sure.
Lopez, Figgy, and Atitula. Yeah, you always go with, like, there's a long name. That's always the last
name. Lopez, Atitula, and Fig feels like when you punctuate with Fig.
Like, Fig's
the punctuation. You know what I mean?
Yeah, Fig's the exclamation.
I've always wanted to be called Esquire.
Right.
Okay. That's so cool.
I mean, you have the middle initial
and everything.
John P. Lopez Esquire. God, I love that. I love that.
Sounds good. In fact, you know what? We might get into our adjudication bag right quick. As we start the show, you always get involved various different ways. Obviously, YouTube and Twitch are both up for you. YouTube is Sports Radio 610, Twitch 610 Houston. Also, we got the Odyssey app always there for you where you can listen and you can react. We always appreciate that interaction on the text line. The number to text, 713-572-4610. I've just been amazed, Lopez, and I feel like you are too, at the breadth, the width that this CJ Stroud 12-second conversation of a quarterback's meeting with Caleb Williams after Sunday Night Football has reached.
Yeah.
It's reached a fever pitch in a way that I just did not expect it to be.
Look, man, Sean mentioned the Irwin text earlier, and I actually mentioned this to you guys before the show. I put it on the doc. Why are they piling on CJ Stroud? When he is more mature, he has accomplished more. He does have more knowledge. You know why they're doing it? Because the same reason that people hate Patrick Mahomes for no reason. The same reason people hated Tom Brady for no reason. Because they're jealous. Like if we want to just get down to the nitty gritty, the gut reaction of why my guy Nick or Mike Florio or that bozo in Detroit, Bernstein, I think is his name.
Oh!
Chicago, yeah.
Dan Bernstein is his name.
Detroit catch a stray just to do it.
Yeah, it's not their first. It ain't their first.
Wow. Wow.
Well,
that's
dude.
What time we starting on?
Wow, dude.
Well, because let's cut away from all the other stuff.
Today's going to be a day, ladies and gentlemen.
Nick Wright not only is a Mahomes guy, and he's feeling the heat a little bit of all this love that CJ Stroud is going, he's a Caleb Williams truther. Mike Florio is an old head that is Tom Brady this, Tom Brady that, and knows him so well. And the bozo in Chicago is defending his guy. Like, this is... I actually, the more I talk about it out loud here, I actually agree with Irwin. This is a gut... They're just jealous, man. They're just jealous. So you have to have a villain.
You think it's that far? Like, I mean, look, CJ's meteoric rise that he's had this early in his career. We've already spoken about the ways in which he's ruined some of the perspective when it comes to quarterbacking early on in this league. Like, it very much takes me to, and maybe this is a level of trauma that I'm already experiencing and are already relating with you fine folks over a lot of watts, right, over air. But it makes me think back to, like, my mom or other moms where they're like, why are you not like insert person here? Yeah. They're such a good young child that's
like
such,
your friend
so
Bill.
Great at their studies. Yeah. I almost went full Nigerian and gave you the whole accent. Why are you not like your age mates? All that. And so I do wonder if that is what we're, I mean, that not wonder, that is absolutely what we're getting with CJ Stroud. You think it's already to the point where people are like, hating him? Because I don't know that we're there. I feel like we are still in honeymoon beloved phase.
In some circles, for sure. I mean, he's kind of the it guy right now at quarterback. But in some circles, you feel threatened. And look, this sounds sort of like childish, but adults are childish all the time.
Correct.
Like adults are childish all the time. You're feeling threatened. You're a little jealous. You're looking for some sort of chink in the armor. With CJ Stroud, he can't be that perfect, can he? No way he can be that perfect. No way he was really not trying to little bro the guy. And we're going to hear the audio that's being talked about here in just a second. But I think this is a very raw, rudimentary, old school gut feeling that people have. You know, human nature type feeling that people have when they are jealous and they're envious of someone that they wish they had themselves. I think it's that simple.
I think that there's some of that in there for me personally. I think, look, man, it ends up being the perfect social media phenomenon. Mm-hmm. And I use social media very particularly here because, I mean, I know that we've had media for a long time and we've had these kind of dust-ups, but it gives, it's a relatively short snippet.
Yeah.
And then it allows, it's kind of a prism through which you can see yourself, right? And now everybody can project various different things into this situation. And that allows for different perspectives to come to a place where you're not necessarily seeing the situation clearly. You're seeing it from your lens and you're not seeing it from this other person's lens. And so we could talk past each other.
Yeah.
We could talk at each other while not necessarily talking to each other with what is happening here. So let's start from the basis, right? Let's go back to Sunday night. After your Texans get a 19-13 victory over the Bears, the quarterbacks who started this game meet at midfield, and this happens.
Good job out there, bro.
Yeah.
Hey,
keep going.
Stop taking those hits. Learn from those mistakes, and everything that you got, bro, is in you already, bro. You're going to be a hell of a player in this league.
Yeah.
All right, boy.
Appreciate it.
For sure.
I honestly hadn't heard that in a little bit. The idea that you can audibly hear Caleb Williams go, yeah, I know.
Yeah, sure, yeah.
Because, there's the conversation that's been happening about, like, oh, man, he's been big broing him, right? You mentioned Bernstein at 670 The Score, our sister station in Chicago, and he basically brings up the idea of, is he good enough at this point to treat him like his son or what have you? Mm-hmm. Which is kind of funny in a different way, because I don't know if he really meant his son in the way that some people talk about sonning folks. but with that I don't even know how much that was the factor. I talked to you guys about this pre-show, as I feel like some of this was just, you get to a place where you step and you're like, somebody's telling you something that you already know.
Yeah.
And you don't really, you don't want to sit there and listen to them tell you the same thing that you already know already, because it feels like it's belittling in that way. Not necessarily from a position of, I am greater than you or whatever, but it's like, hey, man, I don't need you preaching to me right now. I feel like I already have an understanding of this.
Look, and there is one part of it that I think is more than fair. You know, the time and place that this discussion took, you know, happened.
Yeah.
I get that. Like, hey, man, I'm so mad. I just got the hell beat out of me. I thought we could win this game. I didn't play well. Why are you doing this? I get that, and I will give anyone who argues that point.
Yeah.
But at the same time, these two dudes know each other very, very well.
And I do think that that might be playing into it in a different way than some of us have been thinking.
No. Well, the way I'm looking at it, like, they traveled the whole award circuit. you know, when
Heisman
and Johnny, you know, Woody Unitas, all that stuff, you know, award circuit. They've known each other.
Wait, you say Johnny, did you mean what, Davey O'Brien or whatever?
No, there's a Johnny Unitas award too, isn't there? Yeah, I think there's a Johnny Unitas and a Davey O'Brien.
Sorry, when I heard Johnny Unitas, you know where mine went.
Yeah, you thought of Mel Kiper?
That's right. And we will talk about that at some point during the show as well.
I thought there was a...
America's favorite place to watch football is Stadium Swim, located at Circa Resort and Casino in Las Vegas. Catch all the biggest games at a viewing experience built for sports fans. Chill in one of their six pools on three different levels for a perfect view of their massive screen. Plenty of seating options from cozy daybeds to private, temperature-controlled cabanas. Stadium Swim. Book your spot today at CircaLasVegas.com.
Nerds. Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Johnny. Anyway, but they've done the circuit together, even though, you know, he's not a Californian.
Oh, yeah, the Johnny Unitas Golden Arm Award. My bad.
Even though there's, you know, he's not a California guy. He played at USC. They know each other.
They've crossed paths.
They've crossed paths a lot. Like, they probably, you know, have talked extensively. So my pushback on that is... If you know me and I know you and we meet at midfield, I'm going to talk or you're going to talk and the other one's going to listen.
But also, I know you and you know me and you might have some particular tendencies, right? Because I say this with all the love that I possibly can muster in this moment, right?
But
CJ's preacher guy.
He is preacher guy.
Right? And preacher guy, like, and I guess let me take it from this perspective because we got somebody that texted in from the 979. I think CJ said, don't take all those hits, which he did, with good intentions, but then thought it may have been taken wrong, so we pulled him back and added the pep talk, right? I'm interested in that perspective on the idea that all the added stuff, right, was maybe a little bit, he had a simple message and then, hey, he wanted to make sure he cleaned it up. But also, right, intentions are cool, but intentions are for you, right? Like, what is the effect is for others? And that goes a lot further than what we're talking about here, that I could probably get a little TED talk off on that in and of itself. But, right, like, intentions are cool, but like if you're a preacher guy, right? And we've all had this person that's maybe not
we even, all know
like,
him.
Maybe not necessarily a preacher, but like super optimistic person or super high energy person that's like, hey, my intentions are I'm trying to help you out. Maybe it feels like you're down. Maybe you need an energy. Maybe you need, hey, I'm trying to get you hyped up. And the other person's like, I am not trying to hear that.
Not right now, buddy. Not right now, man.
Right? Like, hey, maybe I just want to feel like this for a moment.
Yeah,
or maybe, exactly. Hey, like I don't need you to take it to that place, right? And it did feel like Caleb was in that place, right? Where he was like, hey, man, I don't need this right now. And CJ could be a little bit of, hey, man, I am positive. I have that energy. And it's one of the reasons why we love him is because he has that, and it feels as genuine as you could possibly imagine.
Yeah.
I think that you just had an instance where these things did not match up. And I mean, look, CJ said as much yesterday when he was on the podium talking about things. Fig, you got this audio here of CJ talking about the situation with Caleb Williams.
I had some of the best advice given to me last year, and you know, me and Caleb, I was not trying to like treat him like I was trying to like little bro him or not. He knows that too. I have a ton of respect for him. I told him I had respect for him. But I had so many guys coming to me after games last year, and that meant the world to me. That those guys even thought about giving me advice. So I just try to get back to what the game has given to me. So I wish him the best, man. I want him to do amazing in this league. I think he will. I think that he'll get his groove. And once you get your rhythm, I didn't get my rhythm until like week three, week four. So I can see him, his game picking up from here. And so, and you know, I don't think he was trying to like, you know, be any towards away. He's just upset that they lost. I totally understand. So I have a ton of respect for that guy, man. I want him to do extremely well, just like any other guy until we play on that day. You know what I mean? And after the game, we can be cool. You know what I mean? But I'm definitely, you know, rooting for him and want to see him do extremely well.
There are two things that work here for me that are really, really important. There's kind of a J.J. Watt comparison here.
Ooh.
No, there is. Because J.J., people thought, especially 1, 2, 3, 4 years into his career, this dude can't be that good.
Put on.
It's got to be fake, right? This dude can't be all that. He can't be that good of a dude. He was. And I think C.J. Stroud, people are starting to do that with him. He can't be this good, right? He just can't. And the second,
not good as like talented, good as in like pure
as a person
almost,
and all around good dude and player and all that stuff. So I think that's at work, and it's actually very much a compliment to he and the Texans, because as I said at the start here, I think people it's a very raw human emotion, jealousy and envy that is causing people to all of a sudden jump on him like this for no apparent reason. And then the second thing is, like, if you really think about it, and especially if you do know each other, like, I don't care if you're older than me or younger than me or my age. If you have accomplished something that I aspire to accomplish, I'm going to at least give you the respect of a couple of seconds. You know?
Sure.
I'm going to at least listen to what you have to say. That's what I think.
I think that's an interesting perspective. I think the contemporary point is one that's come up a lot. And utilizing that, I would like to bring up a man who had previously sat in my seat.
Yeah.
His name is Nick Wright. Used to work with Lopez here, Sports Radio 610. And him on his program on FS1, First Things First, he talked about this, and he used it through that lens. Fig, this is cut one from Nick Wright about them being contemporaries.
I think Caleb handled it as well as you could have, given the fact he had to be absolutely furious. That is so... They are contemporaries. That is not a big bro, little bro situation.
It was, though.
That's not... No, first of all, do you know how old Caleb Williams is? He's 23. He turns 24 in a few weeks. Do you know how old CJ Stroud is? He's 23. He turns 24 in a few weeks. This is Caleb Williams and CJ Stroud. Do you know how Caleb looks at CJ, I would imagine? He remembers this night when they were colleagues on the dais at the Heisman Trophy ceremony, and Caleb won the award. Like, the idea that this guy...
Irrelevant. Means nothing.
Brew, I totally disagree
means
with
nothing.
You.
We ain't in college no
that's
more.
That's fine.
I'm 8 times better than you.
Okay.
Listen to me.
No, but that's not how it works.
I'm trying to help you.
He's right.
Yeah.
Not Nick. The other dude.
Yeah, what was that? Chris Broussard?
I believe that's Chris Broussard. Yeah. But this is the thing, right? Perception matters here, right? Mm-hmm. And first of all, we know athletes are built different, right?
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, hey, man, CJ's better than you and trying to tell you something. You think Caleb Williams believes like that, right? Like, he's I doubt that he's like, yo, he's doing great, but that don't mean he's better than me.
I'll go back to what I said a second ago. He is. He has accomplished more. He is what Caleb Williams aspires to be. He is more mature. He does read defenses better. He does handle, you know, things on the field better.
Sure.
And that's why, like, I'm one of the oldest, if not the oldest, guy on radio right now in Houston, right?
Yeah.
I've listened to Nick when he was here. Like, what do you think about this? You've already picked up on that. I'm always like, hey, what do you think? This, yeah, that, or with the other. Always. It doesn't matter. If they're doing something that can help you, if they're doing something that maybe you want to aspire to be, you listen. And especially when it's proven. It's absolutely proven that C.J. Stroud is better. Like, the whole contemporaries thing is nonsense to me. I totally disagree with Nick on that. On the other hand, just real quick.
No, I
do get he's an athlete and he thinks he's, you know, his stuff don't stink.
And Nick, it's easy to forget, right, when we talk about contemporaries. They're also just young.
That's right.
Like, just flat out young. And when you are young, that the way that you view the world, I think a lot of times, one of the things that's tough about sports talk is that a lot of times it's folks that are older than these guys looking at things from the lens that we would now. Mm-hmm. And I say this again, I feel funny saying this being 32 years old, like I'm that much older and more grizzled, but I am still that much older than the guys we're talking about at this point. How much more, you know, all the fine folks that have been doing this for much longer than I have,
yeah,
using a more mature at times perspective to then like, hey man, you at 22, you should have more perspective. I remember me at 22. I thought I was some hot, you know what?
Yeah.
And I have a very good perspective. And I think that that's also something that's happening here. And it's not even just like a, hey, you at 22 need to be better. That's kind of understandable and expected in some ways at 22.
But when you were 22 until now, 10 years later, some of the things that your mom, you know, preached to you that you were nodding, yeah, mom, sure, I get it. Yeah, you're right.
Yeah.
I get it. I know. Don't you now realize, man, she was right about some of that stuff.
Sure. And look, I think objectively we can all go, hey, don't take as many hits. Correct. Absolutely don't do that.
Yeah.
And my problem with this is people acting like CJ put his arm over his shoulder.
Right.
Listen here, Rook.
Or patted him on the head.
Yeah. Attaboy or something like that. I thought that was some solid advice,
yeah,
man.
Yeah, yeah, man.
Especially for that being his second game of his young career.
He was trying to give him game.
Yeah.
But here's the thing about game, right? Like, one of the words that has not come up during the course of this, unsolicited.
Yeah.
Like, advice. Good advice. Vital advice. Worthy advice. Like, we can add all these unsolicited advice. how many times do people love that, right? It takes a level of maturity and perspective to take unsolicited advice and be like, okay, I'm going to take the benefit here. Now, how much more so after ass whooping? You know what, yeah, I mean?
Now, see, CJ would be an a-hole if he didn't say anything. He say, good job, peace.
Yeah, that too.
I don't know.
Yeah.
Maybe. Yeah, if he just said, all right, good job, peace.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Then it would have been the thing, oh, why he ain't give him no advice and all that other stuff, man.
And maybe this is, like, maybe ultimately we'll get to a point where we go, hey, man, this is a part and parcel of Caleb's personality and all those things. But mm-hmm. I think the fact that it's become such a big target point is, one, right, like, the various ways that people are going to view these individuals.
Yeah.
Two, just the ways in which it's small, it's insignificant enough to, like, to be something that's fodder. Yeah. But then it's also, like, it can be so many things. It's so malleable that then it gives us the opportunity to talk. I just did not expect that it's be
off the charts
as big of a conversation because, again, this was such a small thing that you heard CJ talk about it. He ain't mean nothing of it. They're good. And so it's kind of amazing that it became as big as it did. But it did. And I do wonder if you're right that it says something about how people view CJ Stroud and maybe just how big and important he's becoming in this NFL. All right, man, we're off and running in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's talk about this running back situation. Joe Mixon did not practice yesterday, was not seen at practice yesterday. How would you divide up reps if Joe Mixon does indeed miss Sunday's game against the Vikings? Let's talk about that next.
Biggie, let's hit him big time.
Houston, let's get in the loop.
You better get ready because we're going to show up and show out.
With John Lopez and Reggie Atitula. Always live.
Love it. Love it.
Always local.
Don't ever underestimate the heart of a champion.
You're in the loop on Houston Sports Leader, Sports Radio 610.
Oh, yeah. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610 with John Lopez, Figgy Fig, and myself, Reginald Zatatula, hanging out with you on a Thursday, Thirsty Thursday, here on 610 in H-Town. Hope you're having a blessed one thus far.
Hashtag blessed.
Hashtag blessed. Are people still hashtagging blessed?
I think so.
Yeah, I haven't seen that.
I was like, Figgy, you the social media mastermind on the show. Well, nah. What's good in these streets?
People shouldn't be hashtagging anything at this point, man. Not anything like that.
The SEO, the searchability, we're not worried about that nearly as much. The algorithm is off that.
Unless you're doing like some reporting or something like that, you put hashtag Texans or something like that.
Yeah, for like the specific. Yeah.
But you shouldn't be like hashtag bless.
Well, there you go.
Just say you're blessed.
Okay. And that's what we are here in the loop. Hey man, how would you like to see the reps distributed if indeed Joe Mixon sits out, right? Because we have reporting on the idea that Joe Mixon might indeed miss the Sunday afternoon. I keep wanting to say Sunday night. You got one taste of Sunday night football.
And all of a sudden
now you can't act no
we're
more.
We're like CJ Stroud. We're getting cocky.
Yeah, exactly.
Every Sunday night.
Come here. I got something to tell
catch
you
us at 7:20 every Sunday.
That's right.
But Sunday afternoon. Game against the Vikings in Minnesota, mind you, a loud stadium there at US Bank. Dan Graziano has already kind of come out and said that it's likely that Joe Mixon will sit on Sunday. And also you have the head coach of the team who was asked immediately about the Joe Mixon injury after, you know, yesterday at practice. He was nowhere to be found, along with Dameon Pierce, mind you. That was the interesting part for me as well. But D'Amico Ryans was asked about Joe Mixon's injury.
Yeah, we'll take it day by day with Joe and his injury and see where he ends up at the end of the week still, and holding out hope that he can make it.
We're using the words hope?
Holding out hope?
We talking about it through the lens of hope?
Man, Figgy, that deserves it.
Yeah.
All right, so, hey, man, the dude that you're looking at to be basically the bell cow of this rushing attack, and really, I think in all the conversations that we had when we were trying to kind of come back around and say, all right, let's be reasonable. The fact of the matter is Joe Mixon will get a lot of this. If he is not there, that really does open us back up to training camp conversations of what's happening.
Thought we were done with that.
At least for a while, right? I was like, hey, man, football is a war of attrition. Yeah. It is the car crash sport, as I like to call it. It breaks down bodies, right? Yeah. Over time, especially with the position of running back, is going to get to you. I didn't think that was a week three issue.
Exactly.
I thought maybe we talk about this week eight, right? Once we get to, week three, you are talking about the possibility of missing your starting running back. And with that being the case, then what happened? Because as we know, it's not like you have a clear or a confident position after that necessarily, especially seeing as Dameon Pierce might also be in an injury situation himself.
Yeah, look, the other thing that D'Amico said yesterday, and we don't have to play the audio, but I'll paraphrase. You know, he's an old school guy, and he said it's really important for him to be out on the practice field if we want him to play. So, I mean, the old school that we talk about a lot, you know, are they going to be there Wednesday? By the way, we'll let you know if he's there, you know, what the situation is today when they start practice, and especially Friday. If he doesn't practice, he probably won't play, and D'Amico is old school like that. So it is, as Graziano put it, looking less likely that he'll play. So the question becomes then, Reggie, what is your preference for carries? Now, we don't know about Dameon Pierce either. We'll find out on that as well. But if Dameon Pierce can play, I still want to see Cam Akers get the vast majority of touches and snaps on the offensive side of the ball. And when I say vast majority, I'm talking like Joe Mixon. Like Joe Mixon against Indianapolis. Oh. No, and there's a reason for that.
Not necessarily in volume, but in distribution.
Yes. Well, okay. No, and volume of snaps, too. Oh. And let me explain it, because you're not asking Cam Akers to be Joe Mixon for 17 games. You need him this game. You know, you need him this game. You need to have a running game that can complement what C.J. Stroud in the passing game does. You're not asking him, hey, we want you to get the ball 20 times a game, you know, for the next 3 months, 2 months, whatever. No, we need you this time, right now, today, Sunday in Minneapolis. And the reason I say that is because he's better. He's better with the zone blocking scheme. I think, you know, they can say what they want. They can have their preferences, but I think they've seen it, you know, as well. And the other part of it is when Dameon Pierce had a little success against Indianapolis, it wasn't the zone blocking scheme.
Mm-hmm.
It was a straight ahead you know, change it up. It was a change up, basically. Yeah.
Pitch him. It was a lot of power.
Yeah, pitch him the ball and let's play power football. Well, they're not going to change their identity. They can't change their identity as an offense. This is a Bobby Slowick, Shanahan Kubiak zone blocking scheme offense. So I think even if Damian Pierce is there, but more precisely, I'd like to see Dari Ogunbowale get the second most carries, and there's a reason for that too. So even if Damian Pierce is there, I still want Cam Akers to be the guy. Just this Sunday, man. You know, just this Sunday. You know, let's see what you got. Let's see you get a lot of carries. And the reason I want Dari Ogunbowale in there is because this pass rush of the Vikings is ridiculous.
Yeah, I'm with you, right? The idea of Cam Akers being the guy that gets most of the carries, I'm with you on that.
Mm-hmm.
The idea that, hey, maybe Dari should be number two, oddly enough, in snaps, maybe not carries.
Yeah.
I agree with, because I think that this is going to be a situation where no matter who the running back is, Damian Pierce, Cam Akers, Dari Ogunbowale. Hell, if you want to throw British Books out there, shout out to the British Books Hive that apparently has developed in a way that I did not anticipate. But again, he's been a fantastic story and a dude who has worked real hard and hit hard early on in this tenure. Cool, I'm hearing you. But ultimately, it feels like no matter what mix of those guys you want to throw in there, it feels like passing the ball is more of an option when it comes to this team, especially when you look at the strengths of it all the way around.
Yeah.
Right. I think that, hey, man, and also with what we're starting to see with what the run blocking might ultimately be again for this team. Yeah, man, you have to run the football. You can't just go into being a run and shoot team or whatever, air raid, whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
But I do think that you're going to you probably should lean more to putting the ball in C.J. Stroud's hands and trying to get the ball into the hands of the likes of Stephon Diggs, Tank Dell, and of course Nico Collins. Yeah. Right? Like, I think that is the look of ultimately. So yeah, having Dari on the field, especially because of his pass blocking, pass protection prowess, that's where I'm starting to see that in my vision.
Yeah, and you know, you really have to change a lot if Damian Pierce is there and the guy that you want to carry the ball a lot. I don't want them to do that. I don't think they want to do that. And with Cam Akers, I'm not a big country and western guy. What's that song? Was it Toby Keith?
I'm as good. You're I'm asking the wrong
he
person.
He said country and western. What is this? 1985.
I told you I wasn't a big country fan. I'm as good once as I ever was. That's all we want out of Cam Akers. Just be as good once as you ever were. He's carried the load for teams. He's had 150, 170 carries in his career. Just do it Sunday. That's all we're asking. Joe Mixon's coming back.
Hey, coach, will Cam Akers get more reps if Mixon can't go against the Vikings?
Yeah, we'll see. Cam is he's ran the ball well. As we've seen, he did a good job for us. So we'll see where Cam is as we go throughout the week as well.
That wasn't very enlightening.
That's right. It's about to be the Dari game.
The Dari game. Well, you need his pass blocking. That is for darn sure.
Definitely going to have like maybe 12 carries.
No way. Three.
Wait, you said Dari 12 carries?
I think so.
Oh,
man.
No way.
I don't know. I don't know that they're going to be throwing the ball that much for Dari to get 12 and then finding some other ways for Cam and if Damian is available to have carries within there as well. Yeah, that feels like a lot. But
give me 15 to 18 from Cam. Three from Dari, and sling that rock.
You going a lot. I'm thinking maybe 8 to 10.
No.
For Cam, and then maybe another 4 or 5.
But you really want him to sling the rock, which we're going to get to.
I think they will.
Yeah, we're going to get to.
So, yeah, but I think that that's probably the way that it goes. And don't forget, right, like the idea of Dari and British Brooks getting involved here, I think that that'll be interesting when you consider also Brevin Jordan going to the IR, right?
Mm-hmm. So
how much of the tight end type things are you going to have to then get a little bit from your running backs in addition as well?
But, yeah.
Okay. That's what we're looking at is Joe Mixon did not practice yesterday. Neither did Damian Pierce. And your head coach used the word hope. Holding out hope
holding
when it comes to
hope.
The availability possibility for Joe Mixon on Sunday. There you go. You're in the loop. Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, let's get our question of the day. When it comes down to it, what's your mom used to make meal? Just the one that takes you back, ratatouille.
I got you.
713-572-4610. We'll discuss it next.
Live from the Twin Peaks Studios, Sports Radio 610 presents In the Loop with John Lopez and Reggie Atitula.
Question of the day here in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. So this is based off of a clip on NFL Live.
Yeah.
With Darren Orlovsky, the man who famously ran out of the back of the end zone. What's your mom used to make meal? And it's inspired by this audio right here.
Couple things. Hot dogs are better on the grill than they are broiled.
I agree.
I give you that. 100%.
Two, they're actually at their best when they are cut into small pieces and added into macaroni and cheese.
Ridiculous.
Oh, that's childish.
Three, if you really want to have a great hot dog, you grill it, put disgusting. A piece of American cheese on the roll, then that, and ketchup.
Wow. I've never heard of worse ways to eat a hot dog.
All right. That's probably good.
No, you needed to roast them. Well, I mean, notoriously, in addition to running out the back of the end zone, Dan Orlovsky, also known for having the palate of a child.
Yes.
As evidence there. I think also he does not like flavor. And I say that and you sound
What was the other one?
You think I'm making fun of him? One, like, yeah. He legitimately does not like seasoning. Like, he's like, man, he wants.
He said, take some American cheese and wrap it around. This hot.
Okay, so I have a theory on this, and that's where the question of the day comes
all right
in. So when he was a kid, I don't know if they had money or not, but usually the question of the day today is, what is your mom used to make meal? And I'll give you some examples in a second. I don't think anybody in this room grew up with very much money. You know, we all had to, our families all had to be
broke as a joke.
Had to be let's say diligent in terms of making meals, especially in my house. We had 9 kids there for several years, but anyway, I guarantee you the cut up hot dogs and the macaroni is something like his mom was trying to make a meal, and so it rings a bell. It's a touchstone moment, you know? For me, my mom every single day that I could remember made homemade flour tortillas. I'm talking from flour and all that stuff.
Sure.
And a pot of beans. Like, we would have any meal and we had beans with it. We would have spaghetti and we'd have beans with it. We would have, you know, just name any weird meal.
Spaghetti and beans?
Yes. We had beans with every single meal. So a lot of times at lunch the next day, she would cut up hot dogs and put it in the beans from the day before. And to this day, I love cut up hot dogs and beans.
Okay.
Like, that's your mom used to make meal. You know,
like, what kind of beans? Like
pinto beans. A pot of pinto beans.
I've seen it with baked beans before.
No. Every single day she made beans and homemade tortillas.
Question I have for you, though, right? Being kids, especially, some people are variety folks. Some people are, you know, kind of tradition and, you know, having that routine folks. Do you recall yourself getting to a place where you were sick of getting beans every day?
No.
You weren't, so you were never in that place.
It was just part of life.
All right, cool.
You had beans every day. And the other one was our dessert. You guys might have had this too. This is a lot of people that had this. Toast with cinnamon and sugar on it.
Ah, yeah.
Put it in the broil.
That was our dessert.
Our
dessert. She didn't make any cakes and all. I mean, because, you know, we had a lot of mouths to feed. So we had toast with, like, so to this day, sometimes I'm craving a piece of toast with some butter, sugar, and cinnamon. Yeah.
Yep, exactly. Yep.
Yep. So what was your mom used to make meal? I guarantee you that's what Orlovsky's talking about here.
I bet. But I mean, yeah, maybe. Let me not say anything more about Orlovsky.
I don't think he was necessarily as, his mom didn't have to stretch the meals as much, but nevertheless.
Yeah, maybe not.
No, that probably was a go-to meal.
Yeah.
They probably thought it was legit good.
Yeah.
For me, one of those is, I mean, look, this is a classic. Spaghetti. All right, like just having some spaghetti.
Super easy, cheap.
Easy, cheap. Yeah. You can get a good amount of it. And I think one of the things that really upsets my mom now is that I make spaghetti. My little brothers actually prefer my spaghetti to her spaghetti.
Oh, no.
Yeah. So that is one of those things that I definitely get to hold over her head in some ways. But then also there's like kind of a concoction that she would make, because obviously Nigerian, we have our, you know, our stew or whatever, right? Tomato based with, you know, either beef or goat or chicken or something like that. And, you know, when that's running low, she would take that, put that into rice, put some eggs with it, kind of mix it up have just kind of, you know how you
stretching the meal.
You stretch the meal once you get to the end and make a little something special out of it. Sometimes she put shrimp in it, things like that to make it, you know, I guess a little bit different. And those little stretches, oddly enough, I almost appreciated more than, you know.
And you probably still crave it sometimes.
Meal. Absolutely. 100%.
Biggie? Yeah. Mine was, like, I had a lot of random go-to stuff that my mom and dad used to make, like fried bologna sandwiches.
Oh, like, that's a good one.
That was just something that, you know, cheap and easy. Like, whenever we go to the grocery store, they used to always get a couple packs of bologna.
Yep.
Because you could actually make a little meal with that. The other thing is potatoes. We used to get a sack of potatoes, mm-hmm. onions, and just cook, just fry the
onions and potatoes.
Yep, just that's it.
Somebody on the text board said SOS. Y'all know what that is? Because we ate that all the time.
SOS.
You get one of those tubes of breakfast sausage and make gravy with it, like sausage gravy.
Oh, okay.
You could feed an army with that.
Oh, okay.
You could feed an army with that.
I do love that a lot of these are like kind of those, hey, man, we just making a meal to make it go. Although, shout out to Joseph on YouTube mentioned lumpia.
Okay.
Shake and bake chicken. They said they made it last night. Someone else said King Ranch casserole. I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Mm-hmm.
All right. 713 said their mom made salmon croquettes. All right.
Okay. Oh,
all right. Okay. Big money. I see you.
Excuse me.
Now, we used to have the salmon patties. Remember the little cheap salmon patties?
I do not.
Oh, yeah. You can get. Yeah, you can buy them like
yeah,
that.
Yeah, you just make them in the patties and just kind of eat them.
Yeah.
Walk around and eat them.
Nah, tilapia was a fish around my house because that was a little bit different. Salmon, yeah. We weren't on that salmon necessarily.
You ever have spam and eggs? Not ham and eggs. Spam and
I
eggs.
Did. Yeah, I did.
I was never on that spam. I was definitely.
They used to put spam in the potatoes. Like for
yeah,
meat.
Yeah.
Now,
yeah.
If we were doing like a canned meat, we would go with corned beef more than anything.
Yep. Yeah. Yep.
Another one is the kielbasa.
Kielbasa.
Yeah. We used to call it kibasi. So kibasi, just fry it, put it on a piece of bread, put mm-hmm. some mustard on it. Man.
But it's weird how all of a sudden here you are. You know, you're able to afford meals now. You're able to go out and have a great meal. Man, there are some days where I'm like, man, I could really use, I just thought of this one. I could really just use as a snack a butter sandwich. Y'all ever have a butter sandwich? I did.
Not a butter sandwich.
Nah, I wasn't really on that like that.
Toast the bread and put some butter on it?
I used to add the cinnamon with it. I was with you on that. Not just bread and butter.
Yeah.
Hey, but sometimes you had to have one of those wish me sandwiches, though. Like that happens from time to time. Some other things, arroz con pollo with beans.
That goes a long way.
They're with you. Yeah. It is toast, John. The idea of toasting bread and then putting butter on it.
No, but we'd make just a sandwich.
And then you'd put two slices of toast together?
Like big chunks of butter. You can really, you know, get unhealthy.
Ah, okay, very good.
We
excellent.
We used to do the syrup sandwiches.
Yeah, somebody sandwiches. Just texted okay. that. Yeah.
Somebody said grilled cheese. Yeah, man, a solid grilled cheese did something. Mm-hmm, let's see. Someone said, till this day, they said their mom remembers them calling okra soup the good soup. Hilarious. Yeah, I do love like the little, when you get to little kids and the things that we end up saying in order to get to the place.
I want the good soup.
Yeah, exactly. Fried bologna, syrup sandwiches, all sorts of different things.
We used to make chili just, you know, because that was just something easy to make.
Especially when you
and it could last a couple days.
When you're in that cold.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Something that warms the
fideo.
And we used to put the beans in the chili. How it should be.
Yep. Fideo is a great one. The little skinny Mexican noodles. Man, that can. Like
oh,
said,
okay.
She was feeding an army.
Fig, you did bring up as all this was inspired by Dan Orlovsky once again showing his taste in food, and maybe you know remembering back to when he was young, mm-hmm. the idea of macaroni and hot dogs. You had a hypothesis on this?
Yeah, look, man, he's a Caucasian guy because
he is.
This is my thing. Because,
last I checked.
Look, we always have this argument around Thanksgiving, which is coming up in a couple months, about is mac and cheese elite and mac and cheese is just a regular side dish and all this other stuff. This is exactly why people think this. Because if you eat mac and cheese with some freaking hot dog, put some cut up hot dogs in. Like, no, I ain't grow up eating mac and cheese like that.
So you're basically saying it wasn't a poor thing, it was a white thing.
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. In some ways,
Hey, if there's some brothers out there that's eating mac and cheese like Dan Orlovsky, man, let me know.
Yeah, I think mac and cheese served as a meal that was kids coded for some folks. And I think that that's there. Whereas mac and cheese for, I think, different communities.
We talk about grandma's mac and cheese.
Right. Not even just as a side, although they would be that, but like almost like a entree in some ways.
It is.
That is dressed and up and treated as such.
And a lot of people are spicing the mac and cheese up even more. That you got like lobster mac and cheese.
Oh, there's whole restaurants that are based around that.
Yeah, I know. Yeah.
A lot of people saying Vienna sausage. I still take Vienna sausage on my boat because you can just pop
it. I used to eat some of that when I was younger. I can't do it now, man.
Yeah, that's me with ramen. I think
me too.
I have a philosophy that is
the ramen noodles.
There are some things that the ramen noodles, like the instant ramen.
Yeah.
I'll actually go and eat like a professional ramen or like whatever classed up ramen or whatever we want to call it.
Yeah.
But I have like this theory that there are some things in your life that you have a lifetime supply of, or like or that you have a lifetime limit on. I have reached my lifetime limit, I believe, on two things: instant ramen and honey buns. I've eaten enough of those for the rest of my life.
Man, honey buns got me through A&M, man.
Exactly. My mom used to buy them in bulk at the house because I ate them like that. And I think that I've gotten to the point where I am done forever.
You know what? I got like that with cereal.
Mm-hmm.
Like,
really?
I ate cereal I had cereal for dinner at one point, man. Like, I used to eat it all throughout the day. Now I can't do cereal anymore. I can't do it.
All right, man. That's our question of the day about your favorite things that your mom used to make.
Mm-hmm.
I also appreciate that somebody didn't fully get what we were talking about, and they were like, "Mom used to make them go wash the dishes." And I was like, I agree. Not quite what we were talking about, but oh yeah, that's one of the reasons why I love me a dishwasher to this day. All right, coming up next, let's talk to my Nigerian brethren. He's obviously a former Houston Texan and a great insight when we talk about football. Let's talk to our guy ND Kalu leading up to Vikings Texans. We'll do that next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
There's sports betting, and then there's Circa Las Vegas, an adults-only sports watching nirvana. Now you can watch up to 19 games at the world's largest sports book on a 78-million-pixel, three-story mega screen. Plus, it's always spectator season at America's largest pool amphitheater, Stadium Swim. Stadium Swim is open 365 days a year and features all sports on an epic 143-foot screen. Book your reservation at CircaLasVegas.com. Circa Las Vegas, this is sports the way it should be.
Nerds.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Get your head in the financial game with smart investing and budgeting tips straight from the nerds. NerdWallet's experts will set future you up for success with dependable, fact-based insights. No financial misinformation allowed. Learn how to save on your summer vacation, find your next credit card or loan for a big purchase, and invest in your next index fund. Make smarter decisions in 2024. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast on your favorite podcast app.
In life, some days are good, and some could be better. The same is true for recovery. Both take work. Both take adjustments. Finding your path is a key part of your journey, and then it's all about walking it every day. Embrace the good days, the not-so-good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Be open to every part of the journey, and welcome it. It's unique, and it's all part of you. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Norsides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Nor Taste Combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit nor.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.